The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1 with All Care Pharmacy. Expert advice to keep the whole family healthy at All Care, the largest Irish-owned pharmacy brand.
Good afternoon on this Friday afternoon. 51551 for your texts. You can send us emails to ray@rte.ie. We will be talking to Beth and Saoirse. Saoirse is down in Limerick and Beth is at the climate change protest in Dublin, and they're wrapping up in both places around now, and we hope to talk to them in about 10 minutes time to see how it went. We spoke to them in studio with Salim a couple of weeks ago, so I'm really looking forward to chatting to them again. They'll have an opinion eventually when they read the report from the Transport Infrastructure Ireland, which has just been released today. It's the stats from 2018, and we are reliant on vehicular transport, cars in particular. The M50 is the busiest road in Ireland, officially. Well, it was in 2018, and I doubt that it's going to change anytime soon. 420,000 unique journeys per day. And you're thinking to yourself, what I was thinking, that's a lot of toll. That's a lot of toll. So it's 210 for a car on the M50. And when it comes to the M50 and tolling, income last year was approximately 152 million, of which 9 million was from penalties. They say the overall compliance rate was 97.3%, and M50 tolling costs include a bad debt of 3.8 million. I got one of those things that you put up in the, you know, beside your mirror. It's brilliant. You don't have to think about it anymore, and they take it directly out of your account. Because I wouldn't have been good at following through. I'm just not that type of person. I'm not good at the old administration of life. So as often as I can, I surrender the administration of life to something that's automatic. So standing orders, the little gadget for the e-flow thing, all of those things. So I don't have to think about it. I don't have to worry about it. It's just done. It's just done. The only time you know about it is when you get one of those texts from the bank to say that you haven't got enough money in your account. And they're handy too. That's automation at its best. Down in Cork, the busiest road in Cork, several sections of the N40 Cork Southern Ring Road carries in excess of 80,000 vehicles on an average day. That's compared to 420,000 on the M50. And the interesting stats about incidents. So 1,164 accidents on the M50 last year. Friday is the busiest day of the week on average, and the peak incident time on the M50 is between 4 and 5 o'clock. That all makes sense. People going home of an evening, tired, rushing, and that's when accidents happen. Overall, the country, there were 5,050 motorway incidents. There was 14,000 kilometres of mainline grass cutting, 8,500 kilometres of mainline road sweeping, cutting of over 1,000 kilometres of mainline hedgerow, collection of 360 tonnes of litter, and the cleaning of 40,000 gullies. And salt. Yes, you're interested in salt, aren't you? You are, of course you are. Salts on our roads. 5,000 winter treatments using 31,000 metric tons of salt over 65 days were carried out in 2018. I can't remember if it was particularly cold last year or not. So they're all there. You'll be reading all that, those statistics in the papers tomorrow. It was the week of the ploughing, probably the one of the most successful ploughing championships I'd imagine. Just the weather. The weather was, all the pictures were glorious. By the end of Wednesday, you were bored with the blue. You could see all the photographers down there. Stand there and I'll get the blue behind you. I'll get the blue behind you. And all the pictures had that lovely blue sky. Not a hint of a cloud in the background. We were there on Tuesday. We had a brilliant time. We had the crack. We spoke to loads of people, met loads of people, went down a slide, threw a welly, danced a dance. And I danced with Maura. Now, this is becoming a bit of a mystery because we got an email into ray@rte.ie. She says, I'm just sending a quick email to say thanks for mentioning my father, PJ Murrahy. He was on the stage when I was doing the dancing and he was playing a foxtrot or a quick step or a waltz or a jive. I don't know. I jived. The funniest part was when you said you were dancing with his daughter, Maura. I'm his daughter, Moira. And I was at school when your show was aired. My phone was hopping during school and I had no idea what was happening. I had 20 million messages, slight exaggeration, Moira, on my phone and people calling me asking, was I mitching from school to go dancing with Ray D'Arcy? I had no idea what was going on until I rang my parents and they told me you had mentioned my father on the show. It was the best crack ever. I had so much fun with it. So thank you very much. That's Moira as opposed to Maura. I think it was Maura I danced with. I think she mentioned she was just home for a holiday. And I think her dad was Pat, who sold your dad, PJ Murray, Moira, a Belgian blue calf. It's all getting confusing and complicated. So the real Maura who danced to me on Tuesday, please stand up. Yeah, it's a bit awkward, isn't it? Graham Norton is back on the telly soon, maybe tonight. And he's talking, he's giving interviews and he's talking about awkward guests. I saw that one. He mentions Mark Wahlberg as awkward. He was doing the publicity circuit for some movie he was doing and he just returned from Australia, I think. He was jet lagged. He enjoyed a bit of the green room hospitality before he went on. So the combination of the alcohol and the jet lag, the excitement, the whole thing, he ended up falling asleep in Graham Norton's lap. And Graham is quoted as saying, he says, if guests are disruptive, then that is a bore and annoying, like Mark Wahlberg. I think Mark got a bit confused about the jet lag and the wine. He fell asleep. That was the good bit. When he fell asleep, that was like we were able to tell stories. The show is going to be a bit better now. I wonder why. Oh, he's asleep. Yeah. Yeah, like I mentioned Macy Gray before. Like Macy Gray, singer, I Try was her big hit, and I tried when I was interviewing her, and to no avail. It was one of those, it was a monologue by me with the odd interjection of a yeah, no, maybe. She just wasn't giving me anything. And that happens, and maybe it was just a bad morning for her and she didn't want to talk to anybody and she's been forced by her publicist to take a call from a man she'd never met or wanted to meet. And that's it. And I was talking to somebody recently who will remain nameless, and an actor who was doing publicity, and they weren't on this show or on the TV show, I just met them, and they were doing publicity circuit for something they were in, and they said they hated it. They absolutely hated it. And they get asked questions that they've no interest in answering, and oftentimes they've no knowledge of. So, for example, this particular program was set in a certain type of time in the last century, and they were being asked about that. Sure, they weren't even alive, you know, and maybe they weren't good at history in school. So, so we suggested, the two of us, that maybe they just go on these shows and wear T-shirts with watch and the name of the programme under it, and then talk about stuff that they want to talk about. Yeah. We were talking about death row meals. I love these chats. We have them at home. If you're on death row, what would be your meal? It's sort of morbid and interesting at the same time. I suppose your last meal, it doesn't have to be a death row meal. What would be your last meal? So for Neil, who's producing the show today, it would be steak and chips. Come on, Neil, get interesting. Niamh, she would like a chocolate fondant dessert. Fondant. Lisa's choice was a hot apple tart with honeycomb ice cream. Jen went for chicken wings, hot and spicy. And they didn't ask me. I think I was out of the office at the time. I think it'd be the one I have tonight. That I won't bore you again, but that pizza, the Friday night pizza in our house is something I look forward to. I do like chicken wings too, with Frank's hot sauce. And you heard that when Brendan Grace, there's a big concert on over the weekend, because Brendan, before he died, was building up to a concert, and he has been followed by a documentary crew, and I think they're having the concert anyway, because he said the show must go on, so they're having the concert over the weekend, and then RTÉ will be showing the final product, the documentary, between now and Christmas. But after Brendan Grace passed away, we heard from his family how he gathered the family together for a big Chinese. What would your last meal be? 51551 Ray at RTÉ.ie. The wonderful Mary Kennedy is coming in to share us, talk us through the soundtrack to her life today, which I'm really looking forward to. Ryan McMullen is here as well to perform some music live in Studio 10. And did you know, and this will make you feel old, it's 25 years this weekend since the first broadcast of Friends, the TV show in America. So we're going to be looking back at that. So if you have any memories of Friends, do get on to us, 51551 Ray at RTÉ.ie. Ray, were you limbering up for the new season of Dancing with the Stars? No, I had that thing recently. I was on the trampoline for far too long and I'm still getting right on that one. So I think age is catching up with me, and the body is telling the brain not to do things that the brain thinks they can do. Is that part of the aging process? Yeah, your brain says, ah, yeah, go on, you can do a cartwheel. Go on, you can do a cartwheel. And then you do it and your body says, no, why'd you do that? You're not able to do that. Then your brain says, hang out with your son for a half an hour on the trampoline. Go as high as you can. Impress him with your height and your bouncing, and your brain is going, you're going to be great. Look at you, you young dadja. And then your body's going the next morning, what were you thinking, you aged? What were you thinking? So that's the part of the aging process. So, yeah, on Dance with the Stars. I don't think so. Tomorrow night in the telly, I better tell you this, because sometimes I forget by the time 4:30 comes and we're rushing and we're having so much fun that I forget to tell you what's on the telly. We're on at 9:55. Really looking forward to talking to Derry Girls star Siobhan McSweeney. She plays the part of Sister Michael, and in my humble estimation, definitely gets the funniest lines in Derry Girls. And we've had her on the show on the radio before on her own, and we've had her on the telly with the rest of the cast, but I'm looking forward to having her on the telly on her own. She's a funny, witty, thoughtful woman, and I'm looking forward to talking to her. Kim Marsh is leaving Coronation Street at the end of this year. She's on the telly tomorrow. Did you know that she became a granny this year at the age of 42? She became a granny at the age of 42, so I'll be talking to her about that and other things. Keris Matthews, people of a certain age will know Keris Matthews. She sang back in the 90s in her lovely Welsh accent, and we all fell in love with her voice. Road Rage and Mulder and Scully, and then Cold Outside with Tom Jones. And she has a new cookery book and travel book and funny fact book, and she's into it. Talk to us about that. Did you know that the first songs she learnt were Irish Rebel songs? Anyway, we'll be talking to her about that. And we have Tara Fey and Bruce Russell, the wedding planners from My Big Day, Home and Away. All of that tomorrow and more. What are you saying there on 5 on 5 on 5? My favourite storyline was Ross and Rachel. I had a relationship like that where it was on and off and on and off over the course of a decade. We ended up together in the end. Oh, that's great. And forget the last meal on death row. What about your last request? Mine, to sing a last song, which would be 990 million bottles hanging on the wall. Very good. Would you like to sing one last song? I would, yes. 990. Yeah. Chicken wings with a ton of blue cheese dip. Yum, yum, yum. So easy to make that blue cheese dip. And then you think, why would you have raw celery with blue cheese dip? But it just works. It's one of those things that works. And then you have the lovely crispy chicken wings dipped in the Frank's hot sauce and butter, and you're going yum 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 yum. West Cork lobster in garlic butter, a bottle of chilled white, and a chocolate cake with a key in it. Hey, I love that. Keep them coming in, last meals. Yeah, and because we have Keris Matthews on the telly tomorrow, and because the IIT have just released the figures from last year for road usage in Ireland, I thought this would be the perfect song. Good afternoon. Catatonia, Road Rage, the voice of Keris Matthews, and she's on the telly with us tomorrow night. So excited, says one listener. Fancy the pants off, Keris. What a voice. Hello, security. Just an extra man tomorrow night, please. On Friends, Friends was special because it felt like they were your friends too in a weird way. We all know people like Joey or Phoebe. I'm like Monica, no crumbs in the bed type girl. We're on a break, which is the best argument ever from Friends. And in fairness, Ross and Rachel were only on a break. And Donald says, Friends, hated it then and now. My most hated programme on TV. The brilliant things about TV programmes is when you hate them, you can avoid them. I'd ask for the tasting menu from McNean's in Black Lion. Why not, says Margaret. That's Nevin Maguire's restaurant up there. It's Margaret in Dublin. And every meal is actually your last meal, if you think about it, says Mo. So choose your food wisely. I try only to eat things I love. Why would you not? Yeah, fair point. Medium rare kangaroo steak, stuffed mushrooms and hand-cut chips. Watching a lightning storm on a hot summer night in Darwin, Australia. That's from Emmett, who obviously is going back to some lovely moment in his life. Tom and Tipperary, for his last meal, a pint of Guinness, seafood chowder, brown bread, and then your brown bread, I suppose. Isn't that it, Tom? For my last meal, I'd request one of Willy Wonka's everlasting gobstoppers. They can kill me when I'm finished it. Tripe and drasheen with spuds, says Barry and Cork. And when Ross says pivot, when he's moving the couch up the stairs, loved that scene so much, I bought the T-shirt. Also, Ross in the leather pants. Remember that? And he had to use the talcum powder to remove the leather pants in the loo. That's from John in Dublin. The pivot thing, yeah, they're trying to get the thing, the couch up the stairs, and he's given directions.
Here we go, pivot! 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 Pivot!
Shut up! Shut up! Shut up!
Okay, I don't think it's going to pivot anymore.
Apologies to Donal for that, and we'll have more clips from friends after 4 o'clock. So be warned, Donal. 5 on 5, 5 on Ray at RTE.ie.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
R51551 for your texts. Now, as you've been hearing across the day, thousands of students took to the streets today across the country as part of the climate strike. And there were rallies in Cork and Dublin and Galway and Limerick and Tralee and Kenmare and Ennis and Drogheda and Dundalk and Navan. There were other events in Tramore and Sligo and Tipperary. So a lot happening. Now, we spoke to some of the students involved in climate change activism on the show last Thursday, Salim, Beth and Shearsha. And we thought we'd catch up with two of them today to see how they got on. We have Beth Doherty in Dublin, from Dublin, and Shearsha Exton is down in Limerick. Good afternoon to you both. Beth, I'll go to you. Beth, I'll go to you first. Any idea how many people took to the streets of Dublin?
We haven't any definite numbers yet, but I'm hearing 15,000 at the moment, which is incredible.
Right. And when you were talking to us last week, you were saying that you wanted to encourage more adults to join the protest. How did that go?
It was amazing because we split the march into younger and older sections, but there was incredible turnout from every generation and incredible turnout from as many people as you can imagine. So it was amazing and it turned out really well.
And who spoke?
Well, I spoke at the start of the strike, and then we had a few other speakers. We had one adult leading speech, then we had some speeches by 10-year-olds, and then we had a few more just from other strikers around the 14 to 16 age bracket.
Okay. And what was your message to the people gathered, and also, I suppose, to our Taoiseach Leo Varadkar, who's attending the UN Climate Change Summit, Action Summit in New York on Monday? What's the message?
I feel like the main message was, you know, there's been this declaration of a climate emergency, and there's been so much said, but until you start acting on what you're saying, it means nothing, and we're not going to take that. And until we see actual concrete action, we're not going away, and we are going to continue to come out on the streets until we're listened to.
Do you think it's the responsibility of the government to come up with plans for us, the citizens, to act?
100%. Like, I think there's definitely an onus to act on an individual level and to make changes in your own life. But the main change comes on a political level, and it comes from policy changes and regulations that target corporations and agriculture, which are adding to our emissions far more than the average individual person in Ireland.
And what do you say to Joe Duffy gave out this stat just before he finished Liveline today, that if you shut down Ireland, that the positive effect to the world's climate will be negated by 2.5 or 3 days of what China produces?
Yeah, like, I understand the thinking that Ireland can't make a change, but you see, if every single country thinks like that, then we're never going to get anywhere. And even if Ireland can't make a massive global change, we can set the example and become a global leader like Sweden, which definitely doesn't have the same impact as America or China. But it isn't an excuse to not act, because no matter what country you're from, this is your planet, and you have just as much responsibility as a person and as a government as any other country. And to make an example and put that political pressure on other countries to start making that change.
Was there any counter-protests?
Not that I'm aware of. No. There definitely could have been some, but I didn't see any.
Okay. Stay with us, Beth. Saoirse was at the Limerick protest. How are you doing, Saoirse?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. What sort of numbers do you think were at the Limerick protest?
1,000 people.
Okay. And what was the atmosphere like?
It was absolutely incredible. It was all positive. People were very, very supportive. They were very excited to be there. It was just great.
You told us last Thursday when you were talking to us that did you have a real fear, nearly an anxiety, about the future of the planet?
Definitely. I'm scared that this movement won't work, even though I know that it will. And I'm scared that Limerick will be gone and that people will die. It's such a scary notion, you know.
Yeah. And what was the message? Who spoke down at the Limerick rally?
I spoke, and I had my friend Iona Logan speak, and Curtis Amarian, Monica Thorne, Tanya Lipper, and then I had my friend Clive Kenny read out a poem.
Yeah. It's odd. They spent a full lifeline on the Extinction Rebellion plans to shut down Dublin and other cities around the world in the coming weeks. What do you think about Extinction Rebellion, Beth?
About Extinction Rebellion?
Go on.
Well, the strikes are definitely very separate to Extinction Rebellion. And while I personally agree with some of the stuff Extinction Rebellion does, I don't agree with everything action they do, but I think that's just a part of climate activism. You know, different people have different ways of achieving change. We're all very much working towards the same thing. So I support them with the majority of the stuff they do.
But what struck me when I was listening to it, that maybe people don't take you seriously, but they take them seriously. Do you know what I'm, you know?
Yeah, I think part of that comes from how young the strikers are. Because I think a lot of people like to dismiss teenagers and they find it easier to listen to older people. And I think XOR has been really great for supporting us and making sure that youth voices are heard. Because at the end of the day, you know, we are the ones who are going to be affected most, and people need to start taking young people seriously and listening to their voices. And that's what, like, all the initiatives for getting young people's voices, they need to be improved upon today.
Have you had an audience with the Taoiseach? Have you spoken to him?
Not yet, but it'd be great if he set up a meeting with us.
Yes, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Have you asked for a meeting, or do you expect him to ask for one?
There's been things in the past and things discussed I can't really say much about, but I think, you know, the government should reach out to school strikers because they're voted in to represent us and they're voted in to protect us, even if we're not of voting age, even if we're not part of the electorate. It's their job to protect us and protect our future.
Okay. Listen, good talking to you again. Mind yourselves. Thanks, Beth. Thanks, Saoirse.
Thanks so much,
thank you.
Right.
Bye
thank
now.
You.
Bye.
See you. Bye.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Now, it's Friday afternoon, which means we invite somebody in and ask them to guide us through the soundtrack to their lives. And today is the turn of broadcaster Mary Kennedy. Good afternoon, Mary.
It's very nice to be here, Ray.
Yeah, we're delighted to have you.
Yeah, and coming in and out of the sun.
You're looking splendid in your red dress.
Oh, thank you. Yeah.
And you have a Fitbit watch.
A Fitbit, yes. Right. I mean, I live by it.
Do you?
Brilliant. Yeah, I always make sure it's charged, yeah. I like to go running three mornings a week, so that gives you good. You get a good 6,000 steps out of that, you know, and then you only need about 4 to get you past the 10, and you get a lovely little vibration on your wrist when you go by the 10.
Do you? Yeah. Oh, well done you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Well done you. Hey, like, it's sort of great that you're in this week, because next week is a big week for you, isn't it?
Yes, I will be celebrating my 65th birthday on next Thursday, 26th of September.
Happy birthday.
Thank
to you in advance.
Yeah.
And 65, it's arbitrary, but it's not arbitrary in the modern world. Somebody at some stage back in the past decided that was retiring age.
Yeah. Well, it is here in RTE. So yes, I'm obliged to retire. I probably wouldn't choose to retire. But you know, I'm looking forward to the change. I'm looking forward to different things and new opportunities and lots and lots of things.
So you see, it is that you have to, isn't it? You have to retire.
If you are staff.
Yes.
If you are staff. Yeah.
Because you're still... You look to be still enjoying Nationwide.
I love Nationwide, yeah. I mean, I just said to you there before we came on air, I saw you across the dance floor at the ploughing.
Yes.
And, I mean, those things, they're just, oh, I know, I just love all of those occasions. We have the Tidy Towns now coming up on Monday week. Tonight's programme will be the ploughing.
Yes.
Part two of the ploughing. Yeah, I love them. I mean, I'm a dub, but really I have a great sense of the richness of life outside the pale.
See, before today, I wouldn't put you down as a dub.
Would you not?
No, not at
all. I'm from Dundalk and just a Newlands Cross.
I would have put you down as Leinster, but not a dub.
Yeah, no. And both my parents are from the city, from Dublin 7, in around Hanlon's Corner. You know where the cattle markets used to be?
Yes.
Actual fact, when we were small on a Thursday, we used to go up to visit my granny because the farmers used to bring their cattle up and park in the Phoenix Park, and then they would herd them up the North Circular Road, and it was a thrill every Thursday during the summer to go up and see them.
Right.
They were going into Smithfield.
And the smells
market.
And everything that went with it.
But those smells are lovely. I love country smells.
Yeah,
I'm not mad about silage now, but the fresh country smells I love.
I have to ask you, when is your final Nationwide?
Oh, that hasn't been decided
has
yet.
Has it not?
No. Just working away.
And will there be a tribute programme? How long have you been doing it?
Not that long, really. 15 years.
Oh, but that's a good bit now.
Yeah, no,
it's three
great.
Nights a week.
It's three nights a week, Monday, Wednesday and Friday.
Yeah,
and
so that's a lot of
joy. And
of
you know what's lovely is when you go to places and people are appreciative of the fact that there is a programme, like Nationwide, that kind of turns the spotlight on them and what they're doing and what their struggles are. You know, I mean, because I was on the programme joined in 2004, so right through the really difficult years. When it was lovely to be able to go and, you know, maybe just give a little bit of a G up to people, you know, to feel a little bit confident about themselves.
So it's a big year. You're hitting that landmark age. You're retiring from RT.
As well.
Yes,
but
you became a grandmother to little Paddy.
Yes, I was hoping you get to that. My eldest daughter Eva, she had her first baby on the 8th of April. His name is Paddy Boland. They're living in Limerick. Well, they will be. They're doing up a house at the moment. And the three of them are off on their first holiday as a family on Inishmore with my sister. And it's like the south of France.
How lucky are they?
Yeah, and
they,
you know the way now, well, they have these cards for everything, you know, 4 weeks, 5 weeks.
All right,
there was a photograph of Paddy holding a card saying, my first swim.
Okay, right. So he was in the Atlantic, was he?
In Kilmurvy. This lovely little, it is the Atlantic, really.
And Tom, your other son, he got married
3 weeks ago, to a really lovely woman. She's from Australia, but she's quite settled here,
You used the word woman there as opposed to girl or lady.
You know, I like the word woman.
I really do.
And
it's stronger, isn't it, than lady or girl?
Well, it's what we are.
Yes,
we are women. There was my mother used to have a saying, the title lady should not be given to a woman because of her gender, but because of the way she acts in certain circumstances.
Right.
There you go. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, because
old as that. Like, no, I like the word woman. I think it's a strong word. It's what we are, and I think sometimes lady is a little bit oldie worldy. And,
yes.
Because
we were having that chat last week because the ladies football final was on because it's the
I know well that's tradition. I don't mind calling Dublin ladies football
would
team.
You not,
no,
right.
Ah, no, just that just trips off the tongue.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. Because some people feel strongly about that and want to be women's right. Okay. Well, you're here for the soundtrack to your life. So we've established already. You were born
it
in 1954.
Back a long way.
To Pauline and Tom, in somewhere in Dublin. Whereabouts?
In the Leinster nursing home. They, as I told you, they were from Dublin 7, both of them. And they got married in Ockram Street Church and they moved out to Clondalkin and both their families thought they were absolutely going out to the sticks.
The sticks,
really. It was in 1953 they got married. I don't think the bus went out all the way to Clondalkin. But anyway, I was born in the Leinster nursing home. A lot of people were born in...
nursing homes,
I think it was on Percy Place.
And where did they meet? Were they neighbours or just hanging out together?
Well, he went to Brunswick Street and she went to Stanhope Street, so I think they were just part of the same group. But they were, you know, my father was 35 and my mother was 33 when they got married.
Was old then, wasn't it?
It was. Well, you see, it was after the war. You know, and they...
People put things off, did they?
They didn't have the money.
Right.
You know, and also there was a sense of responsibility to your birth family to bring in the few bob, you know.
And who else is in the family?
Well, I'm the eldest, and then I have a brother, John, who's 2 years younger than me, and then my sister, Deirdre, is the one who lives on the Aran Islands, and then my brother, Tony, he lives out in Skerries.
Four?
There's four of us, and two boys and two girls.
All still in the country?
Which is nice.
It
really is nice.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, and it's lovely. We all just love the opportunity to go over and get on the boat and go over to Inishmore.
What did your parents do?
My father worked in insurance. He worked in New Ireland. My mother worked she was a civil servant. They both left school after their intercerts, and they got jobs. She worked in the College of Science and she was seed testing. Yeah, so she did that.
Seed testing?
You know, and it was the agriculture college.
Oh, seed testing.
Seed, yeah.
Sorry,
seed testing for agriculture. She used to go to the spring show and go to the agricultural shows down the country. She loved it. She had lovely stories about going around the
country. And did she have to give that up when she...
Yes. Yes.
When she got married or had children?
When she got married. No, when she got married.
When she got married?
Yeah. But like that was now 1953.
I know, but still, I think that happened.
Yeah, which that was the way until the mid-70s, I think, wasn't it?
Yeah. What sort of a child...
Mind you, having said that, she wouldn't have had it any other way.
Right.
You know, that's what she wanted. And all of her neighbours on the road were of like mind. I mean, we had about six mammies on the road. We were all reared. And if you weren't kind of found out by your own mother,
you reported on. You would. Yeah. So what sort of child were you? And it's a difficult question because
I was very serious, very studious. Right. I can remember when I was studying for Intercert or Leaving Cert, my bedroom was above the dining room, which is where the television was, and I had a brush handle, and if it was too loud I used to bang on the floor so they'd hear it on the ceiling, and my father used to go, "God, you're studying again." So
you were serious. And yeah, did you have television in the house? Or?
Not initially, because I was tickled pink by your researcher asking me what were the programmes you used to watch as a child. I said, none, because we didn't have television. I mean, RTE began in 1961, and it was a few years after that before we
got... you were seven at that stage.
Yeah, but we didn't have a telly straight away. Right. But when we did eventually, probably mid-60s, get a television, my aunt and uncle lived next door, and I have three cousins who live next door to us. My mother and her sister had a double wedding and bought these houses side by side. So when each family had a television, it was like having two televisions, because it was lovely. We had the
choice
between one house and the other. Yeah. On Saturday night, there'd be the Late Late Show on in one house and Match of the Day on in the other.
Aha! And who would go where?
Now, who do you think?
Yeah.
Oh, lovely! Yes! Gorgeous! Very nice, yeah. My dad and my uncle would go down, would go inside, and they would watch Match of the Day, because when they bought the house, they took down, they kind of made a stile in the back wall between the two houses, so you could walk very easily between.
Uh-huh. And then the rest would watch Gay Byrne and the Late Late Show.
Yeah, the ladies.
Isn't that mad?
Or the women.
And then we've a couple of ones that you would have been watching as a child during the day.
A horse is a horse.
Mr. Ed. Of course, the horse is the famous Mr. Ed.
Very good.
That was brilliant. That was black and white. It was on a Friday. I remember the way it worked in our house was we would have our tea at about 6 or we'd go on, and then the television would be wheeled in from the dining room into the kitchen. That was a real treat on a Friday. It was because you didn't have to light a fire in two rooms
then.
Ah,
yes.
Yeah, and we would sit around and watch Mr. Ed.
Or this.
Place to be. That one sounds like a bore. I can remember the pictures. Spreading out so far and wide. Keep Manhattan, just give me that countryside.
You were paying attention. You were paying attention.
But we didn't have a whole lot else.
Yeah.
You know, it was...
And what was it? What did it call them? Rental TVs. I know that in our house, you never owned your own TV.
That's right, TV rentals.
TV rentals.
TV rentals. You're right. I'd forgotten about that.
Yes. Yeah, so you paid so much every week. You never actually owned the telly.
Yeah.
But the plus was that the person who was renting it to you was always responsible for it. So
yes,
they can go and fix it.
And if something went wrong, which regularly
happened,
you'd be looking at snow on the screen regularly. And, you know, you'd have to have it tweaked a little bit. Yeah, no, it was not a...
And I don't know if it happened in Clondalkin, but it happened in Kildare. On a Saturday evening, when everybody was pouring baths and making dinners and making cups of tea, there was some sort of power surge or something which affected the reception on the television. Didn't happen in your place,
I don't have any memory.
And the worst about it was the best television was on a Saturday evening, so you usually miss that. Yeah. So you were serious and studious, and did that carry on through secondary school?
Yeah. Yeah, I did. But I liked school. I liked studying, and I loved sport. I was played netball and then played. I did athletics as well.
Right,
and that continued into UCD as well. I was on the athletics team.
Aha. What was your distance?
Well, it was sprints and relays, and then I went on, and when I got older I did the marathons. I loved the we did cross country in the winter as well, but I did two Dublin City marathons, and now I just like to jog. You know, I mean, I know it's not good for your knees, I know all of these things you're told, but, and I tried fast walking for a while, but I really enjoy the buzz
running. People of your age will be still running.
No, well, I like it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I hope to be. But you wouldn't see many people who are 64 in their 60s running, would you?
No, not many.
No. And you're...
There's one or two, I'd say. Yeah. One or two of my neighbours I would see, and they'd be around the same age as me. I think if it's been really part of your life for a long time, it's hard to
give it up. Yeah. So when did you decide you wanted to be a teacher?
Well, I think I always felt like that. I liked the teaching. I liked the teachers I had. Went to college, and I suppose it was It was a good job. I got a scholarship into college. There's no way we would have been able to
afford
To afford it. Yeah. No. So I went to UCD and did French, Irish and English in first year, and then gave up the English because there were too many people in the class. And I just felt you'd have a better chance of a job with the French and Irish. There were only 12 people in the Honours Irish class. It was.
And where was the push coming from? Was Dundalkin a sort of a working class area?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, yes.
And there wouldn't have been many role models, because as I said, your parents left school at intercert level.
Well, I'd say most of the people on the road, yes, did, on St. Bridget's Road, left school, wouldn't have gone to do their leaving cert. I think definitely my parents wanted us all to have an education. I mean, we do know, we do know that education is key to getting out of a poverty trap.
Yes.
And I mean, I've travelled a lot in the developing world, and you can see that it might have been like this in Ireland, say, 200 years ago. My mother was absolutely so dedicated that she took Irish language classes in Clondalkin. Gaelin were running them so that she could help us with our homework. Right. Now, I was delighted to have the help. My brother and my three male cousins next door, they ran rings around her. They definitely did. But she persevered.
But that's the answer to my question, then. The push was coming from your mum.
My mother, I would say, more than my father. My father was very easygoing. Just didn't, you know, very laid back.
Right.
In fact, the funny thing about my father, because I was asked about a sound, and one of the sounds that I really loved during the summer was the lawnmower, and it was, you know, the push lawnmower in the back garden.
Unfortunately, didn't get that now.
Did you not? It probably doesn't have it on the archive.
But you can still talk about it. I think people know what.
Yeah. Okay. Yes. And what he used to do on a Saturday was he'd get up and he'd bring my mother her breakfast in bed. This would be in the summer. And then he would go off and he'd get all of us our breakfast, and then he'd go out and he'd cut the grass. And my uncle next door, who was also called Tom, but they both called each other Jack, and he knew. He'd say, "Oh, Jack, you're cutting the grass." "Oh, yeah." He says, "Would there be any racing on in the Curra?" "I don't know. No, I must check." And this was his modus operandi. He would do all the chores. He would curry the favour. And then he'd say, "You know, there's a bit of racing on the Curra," and he had cousins in Kilcullen,
right.
So he'd meet up with them and he'd go to the Curra. God, it was lovely.
Well, I think he wouldn't be the only man who ever did something like that now. I think that's common practice, isn't it?
Skip out the gate.
Common practice. The brilliant thing, of course, about the rugby this weekend is that it's on 8:45.
You can
get up and do all that, and everyone else can stay in bed if they don't. It's not interesting. It's not going to impinge on anybody's day, really,
no,
is it?
True, yeah, that's true.
So UCD, and then secondary school teaching.
Yes, Irish and French.
Irish
and French. Right. I went away after I qualified. I went to Brittany for a year and taught English in the French department to, you know, students that were trying to. It was spoken English, and then came back. And actually, when I was away, my father died suddenly. He was playing golf on a Saturday morning, and I was off with my flatmate, who was actually from Scotland. We were going off to Spain. It was Easter. On holidays, and I just got the call to come home.
So you were in your early 20s?
I was 77, so I was 22, going on 23.
Right.
Yeah. And that was awful. That was
terrible. What age was he then?
He was 59.
God, that's very young,
yes,
isn't it?
Yes, it is. I mean, it wouldn't, I don't think he would die now because they would have a defibrillator. But yeah, I mean, that was 19.
And he may have gone for a check, and he may have been on preventative medicine.
He smoked, you know.
So teaching then French, and I was reading an interview you did, and that you had a lovely French term for happy in your skin.
Bien dans sa peau.
See there.
Bien dans sa peau.
That's it. And you're happy in your skin.
Absolutely.
Happy in your skin.
Yes. And I think, you know something, Ray, I think as you get older, you get more bien dans sa peau.
Yes.
Because you just get to a stage of contentment and of valuing life and people. And, you know, there are so many people that I know who have not got good health, or friends who might have died. And you just relish what life has.
Yeah. And you don't sweat over the small things like you would have.
No, definitely not.
And that's why they say that, you know, youth is wasted. What is it?
Youth is wasted on the young.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's it, exactly. Mm. If I could have been this happy in my skin and comfortable in my skin back in my 20s.
Yeah, when you're just building and you're, you know, kind of anxious about your children and will they be okay. And I can remember when Eva, my eldest, transferred from Montessori school to primary school. She was in first class, and I was afraid because all the others had started 2 years earlier that she'd have no friends. And I can remember going down, driving to the churchyard, which was beside the schoolyard, and spying on her at lunchtime to see see why had she anybody to talk to. And I remember I did it one day, and she was walking around the schoolyard on her own eating an apple. I said, "Oh my God, she has no friends." But that's all long past.
Yeah. So, if you said, did you tell her that story?
I did. Yeah. But when she came home that day, I said, "How'd you get on school?" "Grand, grand." But you know, say, "Were you playing with anyone?" "No, no." She's just cementing my.
She survived,
my fears.
Though. She survived. She, did, yeah. She got through it.
She's the one with the little baby now.
I want to talk to you about the sing songs in the house.
Right.
And other stuff as well. But we have to take a quick commercial break. We're talking to Mary Kennedy.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
R51551, we're talking to Mary Kennedy about the soundtrack to her life. Love Mary Kennedy and H. My best wishes to her. Lovely lady, says Donal. And really sorry to hear that Mary is retiring. We'll miss her on our TV screens. Can you ask her if she has any plans to write another book? I've really enjoyed all her others. Bridge Andrada.
Well, I haven't ruled it out, yeah. I mean, it's only a year since the... Well, it's not even a year since the last one came out. I've written 5 and I do like writing. So, yes, I would like that would be the case.
And, of course, you would be able to write about retirement.
And being a grandmother.
Being a grandmother. Yes. These are... Yeah, yeah. like, more and more of us are going to be retired, you know, because that's the way the population is going and demographics are going. Advice I got when I retired, do something totally different to what you did in your working life. Each year do something new. I'll pass it on to Mary. So there you go. There's somebody offering advice, unsolicited. Happy birthday to Mary from all your friends in Kilkenny. Mary's a wonderful person, great personality, a people's person. She is also a woman of faith. Tom says, don't retire, the country needs you.
Well, I think retirement is a strange word. I'm you know, finishing up as an employee, but you know, there's like the world is a big place. There's lots of nice things out there. There's lots of opportunity. I'm not going to be sitting.
You won't be precluded
humming my beads.
But you won't be precluded from doing, say, if somebody wanted you to do a documentary on religion or on loneliness or retirement. Yes. You wouldn't preclude. You could still do that.
No.
Yeah. Best luck to Mary. If she leaves nationwide, she will be sorely missed. I think I did that. Happy 65th birthday to Mary. Mary is very good at her job, says Deirdre. And just enjoying your interview, Mary Kennedy, whom I think is great. I was born in Leinster Nursing Home in 1943. Oh. Says that person. Yeah. I've watched Nationwide for decades, and I can say that Mary Kennedy certainly brought her own style to it when she came along. Good luck to her in anything she turns her hand to, says Frank. And my mum, Dolly, always said education is never a burden to carry, says Anne-Marie. Mm-hmm. So there. Well, so the singing in the house, this was a song that was popular in the Kennedy household.
For a very good reason, actually. Well, I have to say the tradition of sing songs now goes back to my parents' generation. There were always sing songs in the house, and everybody had either said a poem or had a song, and you'd have, you know, and you'd hear the same song from the same person year in, year out. My father used to love Frankie and Johnny, and my mother and her sisters, they would sing songs like Kevin Barry, and you know.
Do you want a blast of those two just to remember your parents?
Yeah, that'd be nice if you have them.
Yeah, there. Frankie and Johnny. It was Lonnie Donegan, and we have a more modern version. He does it with Van Morrison.
Frankie and Johnny were sweethearts. Lordy, how that good love. But if it's true to each other, yes, it's true to the sky above. He was your man. He wouldn't do no wrong.
Yeah, that was great.
You can hold a note yourself.
Sometimes, not always.
What's your song when you're asked to do a turn?
Myself and my sister Deirdre, she's got a beautiful voice. She's actually got a CD coming out.
Right.
But we do she does the very nice part of it, of Danny Boy.
All right.
Love it, love it, love it.
So that was your dad, Frankie and Johnny.
Yes.
And your ma, this is not your ma, this is the Wolf Tones, but Kevin Barry.
Mount Joy Jail, one Monday morning, high upon the gallows tree, Kevin Barry gave his young life for the cause of liberty.
And was it the kitchen or the sitting room or the...
Oh, it would be the sitting room, No, this would be when there would be visitors, you know, maybe around Christmas.
And everyone would sit around.
Sandwiches and cakes and apple tarts and everything. And then the two fires would be lit in the sitting room and the dining room and they'd have the sing songs.
Right. Yeah. You were asking me a question about that.
Hadn't he got Kildare connections, Kevin Barry? He was a medical student, do you remember?
I should know, but I don't know.
Maybe I'm wrong.
I'm sorry.
Anyway.
Sorry, miss. I didn't do my homework. Didn't do my revision.
On to the next generation then, and we continue the tradition of sing songs, definitely.
And your boxer would be.
They're actually quite shy. Well, I have my nephew, Dermot Kennedy, now, who's a
pretty... See your nephew?
Yes, he is. He's my brother's son.
Go on!
Yes.
I thought that.
He kind of carries the baton for everybody,
my
really.
My word.
Actually, he sang at Tom and Shona's wedding 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
But we do have a tradition of sing songs, and Edelweiss and the Boxer, yes, would be up there with them. With the best of them.
Can I play a bit of that? Because that is the favourite song in our house at the moment. You can tell him that. I put out a public plea to him to come in and sing for us, but he obviously wasn't listening that day.
You know, on the late last Friday.
Yes, yeah, I know. So he's great. He's just a huge talent. So he is your...
My brother's son.
Your nephew.
Yeah. And my daughter Lucy is his photographer. And you know, there's only 6 months between them.
Right.
And they were best pals growing up. And she tours with him and takes all the photos and everything. So it's really nice.
Don't tell me this is all for nothing.
I can only
tell you one thing. On the nights you feel outnumbered, baby, I'll be out there somewhere. I see everything.
And I love that.
He's got a CD coming out the 4th of October. And the tour starts next week, actually.
Well, when you're talking to him, tell him we think he's absolutely brilliant in the Darcy household.
Tom,
Kate, Jenny, and
cool.
myself.
That's brilliant.
It's one of those songs when it comes on in the car, we all sing along to it.
Yeah, yeah.
Power
Over Me was good as well. Power Over
of Me.
Well,
yes, and Glory and all of those, we're huge fans. That's mad, I didn't know that. There you go, there's a news line. Maybe everyone knew that Mary Kennedy was Dermot Kennedy's auntie.
Somebody asked about sing songs.
No, there you go. Listen, that's it.
I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it too. And listen, happy birthday.
Thank you very much.
And whatever you choose to do after you leave here after 41 years, we wish you the best of luck with it.
Oh, thank you, Ray. Yeah. Well, I'm looking forward to, the next chapter, as they say.
Mary Kennedy, thank you very much.
Thank you, Ray.
Roy McMullen is here and ready to go. But before that, RT Radio 1, as part of our Rugby World Cup coverage, wants to send you and a friend all the way to the final in Japan. So listen up to this and see how you can win that brilliant trip.
Rugby World Cup Japan 2019. RT Radio 1's got you covered. And as part of our coverage, we want to send you and a friend all the way to the final. For your chance to win return flights to Japan, a four-night stay in Tokyo, tickets to the final, and €1,000 spending money, answer this question. The winner of the 2015 Rugby World Cup was A, New Zealand, or B, England. To enter, text the word Japan, followed by your answer and name to 57111. Cost of entry is €1. Lines close at 11 a.m. on Monday the 30th of September. Don't text after that time, as you will be charged, but your entry will not be included. This competition is open to residents of the Republic of Ireland only, over 18s, and terms and conditions apply. See rte.ie/competitions, where the lucky winner will also be revealed.
There you go. Good luck with that. Can I win, or am I excluded from it because I'm an employee of RTE? I'd love to go to Japan to see the final of the World Cup, and hopefully we'll be in it. But yeah, I was just looking there, and I don't follow betting, but we're fifth favourites to win the World Cup after New Zealand, South Africa, England and Wales. And then we're 10-1, I think, are the odds. Ryan McMullen, good afternoon.
How's it going?
Good.
Good.
You brought Hammy on drums and Connor on bass.
I did, yeah.
Yeah. Your new single is called...
Rebellion.
Right. And you've been on tour with who?
Snow Patrol.
Wow.
Yeah, pretty amazing. It was great to open up for them, but Johnny McDade had to get surgery on his neck, so I was playing a bit of piano as well, so I got to play Chasing Cars with the band that wrote it on a tour. It was pretty exceptional.
Yeah. Was that scary?
Nah.
No.
Not really, no.
No.
When it's music, nothing's scary. It's all but fun.
Right.
So...
Yeah, there you go.
I mean, you know, yeah, it's a little scary. But
there's a Snow Patrol connection to the song Rebellion as well, isn't there? Ian Archer.
Ian Archer, yeah. It was co-written with Ian Archer, who also co-wrote Run with Snow Patrol. What an unbelievable writer and human that guy is.
Yeah. An unbelievable writer and human.
Yeah. In that order.
That's a brilliant line. Okay, so this is the new song from Ryan McMullen, Rebellion. Hammy on drums and Connor on bass. When you're ready.
How do you lie like they tell you? How do you smile when it kills you? How do you keep on pretending when your heart's in rebellion? Now that we're here in the warm light of day, I'm still the one trying to keep it contained. I'm still the one trying to carry you and make you feel safe. Tell me your truth and then I'll tell you mine. Give me your hand to see in my. Carry you through the maze. Tell me, yeah. How do you lie like they tell you? How do you smile when it kills you? How do you keep on pretending when your heart's in rebellion? How do I breathe in the laughter when I know what comes after? How do you say nothing's ending when your heart's in rebellion? When your heart's in rebellion. Now that we're here and we're silent again, in the town that I love, but it's never the same. I am the truth, let it haunt. Pretending when your heart's in rebellion. How do I breathe in the laughter when I know what comes after? How do you say nothing's ending when your heart's in rebellion?
That sounded brilliant. I don't know where all the sounds came from, but it was live. It was live. There were buttons been pushed and pedals been kicked and all sorts of things. Sounded great. That's Rebellion. That's the new single from Ryan McMullen. Ryan's going to stay on with us and he's going to sing us out. And RyanMcMullenMusic.com for details of all his gigs. I see you're in the Atlantic Sessions in Causeway in November, and then Central Church May Street Buildings in Belfast. That's sold out. And you're in May Street Buildings again, 6th to the 7th of December. I think there's one show still available, tickets still available. For the moment, Ryan, thank you very much.
Cheers.
Quick commercial break.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Now, 25 years ago Sunday, it was a Thursday night in America, and the American audience didn't know what they were about to experience when they heard the theme tune to a brand new program called Friends. Yeah, 25 years ago, the anniversary is this weekend, and Enya Martin is a super fan.
super fan, yeah.
Super fan.
Yeah.
What age were you when 25 years ago?
I know, I was only about like 3 or 4 when I came on here, but in 4 years, I was 14 when I went into secondary school. I started watching the reruns on E4 and that's how I got hooked.
Aha.
Yeah.
Who's your favourite?
I'd say it'd be a tie between Ross and Chandler.
Yeah.
I love Chandler's sarcasm on his one-liners and Ross just for how dramatic he is.
And do you think they've influenced your comedy?
Oh, big time, yeah. Especially Chandler, like how sarcastic he is. Like, he's just so witty. Like, I remember watching him and being like, I want to be Chandler Bing.
Yeah. You're obsessed. You were in New York recently.
Yeah, I was. So we did go to see the apartments that I was shot in, and I actually went to the Friends Fest as well, which is over in the UK last summer, and all the sets were there, Central Perk. It was amazing. It was, you had the taxi that Phoebe drove, like, it was just amazing.
Yeah.
So surreal, like, you actually got to go into the apartments and take pictures and stuff.
Here's a little quiz here. Who do you think is worth most of the cast? Because it was famous at the time. When they came to the last season, they were getting a million an episode.
Yeah, like, it was insane.
Yeah. So who do you think is Who do you think is worth the most?
I'd say Jennifer Aniston.
You're right. 220 million.
Oh my God.
She's worth $220 million, lads. Who's next, do you think?
I'd say maybe Courtney Cox or Matt LeBlanc.
Courtney Cox is correct answer. 120 million she's worth.
Yeah.
You see, she was sort of half famous before Friends.
Yeah, she was in that Bruce Springsteen
video. And then she went on to do the Scream things as well.
Yeah.
And then trotting after them, 85 million, David Schwimmer, Ross. Chandler, Matthew Perry, 80 million. Matt LeBlanc is worth 80 million as well. And then poor Lisa Kudrow is only worth 70 million.
Oh, bless her. Only 70 million, is that it?
Yeah. What about Smelly Cat, Smelly Cat? Favourite moment for you? Will we play it in?
Yeah.
Cat, smelly cat, what are they feeding you? Everybody! Smelly cat, smelly cat, it's not your fault.
Monica!
They won't take you to the vet.
Chandler!
Obviously not their favorite pet.
Joey!
May not be a bed of roses.
Rachel!
You're not friend to those with noses.
Those are the only lines we have, sorry. Okay.
There you go, Phoebe and Smelly. She was my favourite character, actually, Phoebe.
Really?
Yeah, I just liked her quirkiness.
I think in that Friends group, I would be Phoebe. Because
oh, would
I'm
you?
So quirky,
you would be Phoebe,
yeah.
Yes.
But I aspire to be Chandler Ross.
Yeah. And of course, the ongoing on-off relationship between...
Ross and Rachel.
Ross, yes.
Yeah. Well, I always thought they didn't have that much chemistry. I always thought Monica and Chandler had better chemistry than them. Like, he was like an anthropologist and she was like a fashion designer. Like,
yeah.
It's not peering, isn't it?
He was nerdy nerd, wasn't he, Ross?
He really was, yeah, but I love him for it.
Yeah. And of course, they were on a break. That's the classic excuse.
I mean, my mom never thought this would work out. She was all, once a cheater, always a cheater.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I just wish we hadn't lost those 4 months. But if time was what you needed just to gain a little perspective.
We were on a break!
You bet.
Have you ever used that excuse?
Probably have at some time.
Yeah, we were on a break.
I love how they dropped it into the final episode as well. Yeah. Just for the crack.
Joey is still as handsome as ever, and Phoebe had more personality than any of them.
Yeah, she
said
definitely
our texters, yeah. Chandler, you liked?
I did. I love Chandler. I'll tell you, I least like Joey. I think they made him out to be too stupid. Like, I went to school with some simpletons and even they, like, put him to the test, you know what I mean?
He was a fictional character.
Yeah.
So Chandler, another relationship didn't work out and he's not feeling the best.
I'm going to die alone.
Okay, you win.
Chandler, you are not going to die alone.
Janice was my safety net, okay? And now I have to get a snake.
Uh-huh. Why is that?
If I'm going to be an old, lonely man, I'm going to need a thing, you know? A hook. Like that guy in the subway who eats his own face. So I figure I'll be crazy man with a snake, you know? Crazy snake man. Then I'll get more snakes, call them my babies, kids won't walk past my place, they will run. Run away from crazy snake man!
Yeah. It was sort of just the combination. They hit it just right, didn't they?
Yeah, because that was so great about the show is that every person watching that, no matter what situation was, they could relate to one of the characters in it, you know, and everyone wants a group of friends like that. Okay, like some of it was unrealistic, but I mean, you look past that. You just looked at the friendships and the relationships that they built.
I read an article about it. You know, it was recorded in front of a live audience.
Mm.
And sometimes the audience were laughing so much that they edit their laughs out.
Yeah.
Unlike other sitcoms where they have to edit the laughs in, you know.
Like Matthew Perry, he wrote a lot of the jokes. Like he would go back and rejig them. Like he was that good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Ross, we sort of loved Ross because of his nerdiness.
Yeah.
And he was, yeah. This is him freaking out about a sandwich. He was anal. That's it. He was anal.
Do you perhaps remember seeing a note on top of it?
There may have been a joke or limerick of some kind.
That said, it was my sandwich.
Now calm down. Come look in my office. Some of it may still be in the trash. What? Well, it was quite large. I had to throw most of it away.
You threw my sandwich away. My sandwich? My sandwich?
There you go. Remembering Friends, 25 years old this weekend. Enya Martin, you was coming again.
Oh, defo, yeah.
Yeah, thanks for that.
Thanks for having me in. I'm a super fan.
You can say for Ryan McMullen. Ryan, what are you going to sing us out on?
Fast Car, Tracy Chapman.
Tracy Chapman.
Oh, I love that
Tracy
song.
Tracy Chapman. That's like something I'd say, Ryan. Yeah. Right, when you're ready, Fast Car.
You got a fast car, I got a ticket to anywhere. Maybe we can make a deal. Maybe together we can get somewhere. Any place is better. Starting from zero, got nothing to lose. Maybe we'll make something. But me, myself, I got nothing to prove. You got a fast car, I got a plan to get us out of here. You see, I've been working this convenience store. Managed to save just a little bit of money. We won't have to drive too far. Cross the border and into the city. You and I can both get jobs. Finally see what it means to be living. You got a fast car. Is it fast enough so we can fly away? We gotta make a decision. Leave tonight or live and die this way. So remember when we were driving in your car. Speeding so fast it felt like I was drunk. City lights laid out before me. Your arms are wrapped right around my shoulder. And I had a feeling problem. He lives with a bottle, that's the way it is. He says his body's too old for working. I said his body's too young to look like his mama went off and left him. Cost me more life than he could give. He said somebody's gotta take care of him. So I quit school and that's what I did. So remember when we were driving in your car. So fast it felt like I was drunk. City lights laid out before me. But your arms are wrapped right around my shoulder. And I had a feeling that I belonged. And I had a feeling I should be someone. Be someone, be someone. You got a fast car. Is it fast enough so we can fly away? We gotta make a decision. Leave tonight or live and die this way. So remember when we were driving in your car. Speeding so
so fast I felt like I was drunk. City lights laid out before me, but your arms are wrapped around my shoulder, and I had a feeling that I belonged, and I had a feeling I should be someone, be someone, be someone. Won't you be someone? Won't you be someone? Be someone. Be someone.
That was great. That was really beautiful. Thanks very much, Ryan McMullen. RyanMcMullenMusic.com for details of all the gigs, and Rebellion is the new single. Thanks very much, Ryan.
Cheers.
We have to go live to Tipperary to Baz Ashmawe, who's working on RT's DIY SOS, and he needs plasterers. How are you doing, Baz?
How are you, Ray? It's actually painters.
Oh, it's painters, is it, right?
It's painters. Firstly, Ray, thanks a million. I know I just dropped in on you desperately.
That's fine.
That's fine.
So I mean, it is the last minute, Baz. It is the last minute. Make your plea.
So I'm in Tipperary. We're doing a DIY SOS down here. And there was a young woman called Sinead Barry and her partner, Michael. And Michael fell ill about 6 months ago and passed away. And they had a little plot of land that was their dream house. And they've three young kids, a one-year-old, a six-year-old, and a 13-year-old. And the place is just, you know, there was no way this was ever going to get finished. So we've been down here. I've had people from Donegal, a great local community in Dundrum. I've had loads of people helping out. And we're flying, but I'm desperate for painters. We're at a kind of wit's end, and I'm reaching out to anybody out there. Maybe you know, maybe you are a painter, or you know someone who's a painter that could help us this weekend paint this and make this dream come true for Sinead and her family after everything they've been through. You know,
DIY SOS tip with two P's at Motive. .ie or text 087-416-4044, or if anybody gets on to us, we'll pass them on to you. I'm sure there's somebody out there listening now who will help you with that, Baz. And listen, if you're still stuck tomorrow, we'll mention on the TV as well. We'll have to get this done.
It would be amazing to me. Like, if you could see, like, I've had 123 different people down here, everyone helping out. It's been amazing, but it's just that last push. For some reason, I'm sure painters can't. I just desperately need them, and I'd be forever grateful. If you can't remember any of the numbers or details, you can jump on my Instagram and send me a message personally, either. Whatever way you can get in contact with
Thanks,
me.
Thanks, Baz. Good luck with it. We have to go.
Thanks, Baz. Thank you so much. Thanks, Ryan, again.
Thanks, Daniel, again. Mary Wilson on the way. Sorry about that. We're back on Monday or tomorrow on the telly, 5 to 10. Have a great weekend.